how we seek you this morning, God. We seek your grace and your mercy. We seek your love and your purpose, God. What is it you would have for us to do, Father? Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Oh God, we bless you this morning. We ask you, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, to allow us in your presence, God, as we make way, oh God, to the throne of grace, as we make way, oh God, to go before your people, we ask you to lift us up. Lift us up, God, as we lift you up. For you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Let the drawing begin, God. Let the men come forth, God. Let the lives be changed, God. Send a word, O God, that will cut but will heal, God. Send a word, God, that will encourage, O God, that will tear down where things need to be moved but will build up, God, our strength and our perseverance, God, our endurance, God. Build us up, Lord, where you need us to be built up, God. O Father, we thank you and we praise you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you this morning, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We bless the Lord. Oh, our soul and all that is within us, we bless his holy name. We will give honor and praise always to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Good morning, people of God. Good morning and welcome to our worship experience this morning. Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, your virtual community church, your virtual experience of worship. Rhema is here, and we bless God that you are here this morning. Good morning to our covenant partners, to our membership at large, to all of our supporters. We thank God for you. We thank God for the word that's coming forth. We thank God for what the word is going to do in your life. We thank God and we give him glory. We give him honor and we give him praise for you this morning. Oh my goodness, God, give us an ear that we might hear what thus says the Lord. Cause the word, oh God, to impart into our spirit, oh God, and to change some things in us, God, that need to be changed. To, oh God, encourage some things that need to be encouraged. God, lift up, God, some things that need to be lifted up, God. Oh, we bless you this morning, Father. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We just give God glory this morning, and we want you to join us as we recite our mission and our vision statements, and we believe God for these very things because he's already begun to do, oh my goodness, what we declare and we decree this morning. Come on with us, if you will. Amen. We've already begun, Father, to foster an atmosphere of true worship. God, we continuously begin and work at God and pray to reap souls for Christ. Empower the people of God to live in excellence, Father, through outreach, teaching, and fellowship. Oh, won't you come on with me? And when we do these things, we can live each day in excellence through Jesus Christ, that we might, oh God, walk in expectation of the salvation of the Almighty God, the one and only, living in excellence. Somebody say we walk in expectation. Come on, give him a praise wherever you are right now. Put your hands together and give him a praise right now. Open your mouths right now and give him a hallelujah. Give him a glory to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and raise your hands on up and give God some praise right now. Come on, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, worship the Lord with me in the beauty of holiness this morning. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You know, there are so many times we need God to purify some things in and of us. We need God to show us some ways to change. We need God to show us his way to do things. Amen. And in those doing things, we need God to show us how to serve and to serve each other and to do things the way he, oh God, commands it. No matter what position we are in. Every move, every motive, every intention, every helping, and every single serving or service that we give. Oh my goodness, serving matters. It matters. And no matter what is left out, what has come this way, whether we start at the beginning and get to the end, we've got to make sure everything is filled in between. Because what matters is all of that. And the first and last serving, the first and the last serving, it all matters. Oh my goodness, not where we started, not just where we started, but also where we end up. The first and last serving, not just where we begin to do what needs to be done, but how we end up doing what needs to be done. Oh my goodness, praise God. No matter what, y'all. No matter what, because if anything is left out from the first serving to the last serving, there are some things that need to be fixed, some things that need to be amended. And if the whole thing, you see, between the first and the last is not reputable, if the entire body is not presented or presentable, then neither the first nor the last serving will make much of a difference. Oh, come on, somebody. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Romans 12, 3 through 9 this morning as you keep that thought in mind, the first and last serving. Romans 12, and we're reading from the NIV version this morning, says this, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." The fourth verse says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." That sixth verse says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If indeed it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. My God. Oh, my goodness. That was Romans 12, the 3rd through the 8th verses. Oh, my goodness. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly than you ought." That's that third verse. "But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Look at yourself, for by the grace, you see, by grace given, oh my goodness, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. You're nothing. From dust we came. From dust we will return. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. But rather it says, think of yourself with sober judgment. So think about yourself with a soberness, with clarity of mind is what it means. Oh my goodness. Oh, thank you, Lord. Think of yourself with a clear mind. Think of what you're doing. How you're doing it in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. My Lord, do we understand that all of us don't have the same portion of faith. Oh, wow. And sometimes it depends on our situation. We may have more faith with this than we have with that. Not what he's given anyone else, it says, but with the faith God has distributed to you. What is he giving you in faith? How are you strong? Where are you strong? What are you strong in? It says with sober judgment. That means the ability to make considered decisions or come to sensible conclusions. Making considered decisions, things that you've already thought about. You didn't just jump hastily into it. You think about it or come to sensible conclusions. And that fourth verse goes on to say, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Wow. The fifth verse says, so in Christ we, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each of us belongs to the other. For just as each of us has one body with many members, our body has many members. The body of Christ has many members. Any organization has any members. But so in Christ, we, though many, though there are many, there is a multitude, there are a multiplicity of gifts. It says, though many form one body and each member belongs to all the others, every member receives their own serving. Every member has been given by grace what God has given them. Every member is needed to serve. See, you receive a serving, but you in turn have to serve. Every gift comes from the act of serving, providing a service. Oh my goodness. Serving. Let's look at the word serving and serve. When we receive a serving, when we think about a serving, we think about a quantity of food. For or serve to one person. We think about a quantity of food suitable for or serve to a person. That's a serving suitable for the amount we put out, suitable for what we need to fill us. Come on. To serve means to perform duties or services for another person or an organization. Wow. Let's think about those servings and serve right now. Serving and serve, how to serve. The first and the last serving. When we think about receiving a serving, it's just enough for each one of us. You see, even when you think about being in a restaurant and you order a dish, they have that serving already proportioned. They have it portioned out. They have this much or that much. Sometimes you, if you have the opportunity to be in a place where they're serving up or scooping up a certain, they have a certain scooper and they pull up so much because they've already identified what they can make from each portion. So you're not going to necessarily get a larger portion than the rest of the people at your table unless somebody slips and forgets to serve it up the way it's intended. A quantity of food suitable for or served to one person. So a quantity, a serving, it's yours. It's what you've been served. It's what God has given you. It's what your gift is, but it lines up with the individual gifts. It lines up, that serving lines up with the individual gifts given, the faith given to even perform or execute those gifts. And when you begin to execute those gifts, then you are doing what you're supposed to do to perform or to present that first serving and that last serving, because now you're serving. You're producing. You are serving by performing duties or services for. For who? For one another? For the whole body? Maybe this person needs a serving of your gift. Maybe the whole body needs to be edified by your gift. But you have to serve according to what has been given to you. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your what? Your faith. Seventh verse says, if it is serving, then serve. That means your gift. I know we are talking about the first and the last serving. We are talking about the portion that you receive. We're talking about this and that. We're talking about performing the duties or services. But this right here says, if your gift, see, don't get it confused. Your gift is serving. Your gift is to serve. It says, then serve. If it is to teach, it says, then teach. Now, do we some have portions of each of these gifts? Do we have some portions of some of this and some of that? Did we go to the buffet and were served many things to do? If it is to encourage, it says, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give how? Generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. That means you can't stop. You got to keep pushing past. If it is to show mercy, wow. It says to show mercy cheerfully. Don't show mercy because you feel like they just need some mercy. But all you ought to be joyous that you're able to show mercy, that you're able to help that brother or sister, that you're able to pick somebody. When you're able to show mercy, oh my God, it says do it cheerfully. Do you know that God made us in his image? So do you understand that when he's showing mercy to us, he's cheerful about showing mercy to us? When he's giving us grace, God is excited about being able to give us grace. Oh my goodness, the last word of verse 8 says cheerfully. And then verse 9 picks it up right here. Let's look at 9 through 13. It picks it up with this word right here. Love. It picks it up with the word love. It picks it right up with how the serving should be done and with what? With love, it says love must be what? Sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now leave. Come on. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Right there with that ninth verse. Thank you, Lord. Love must be how? Sincere. Love must be sincere. It must be earnest. That means you have to really want to love. You have to feel the love. Your love has to come from a good place. When it tells you that love must be sincere, that ninth verse, it says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. So when you see this scripture, it says love must be sincere. How can it be sincere? By hating what is evil, by clinging to what is good. That's when sincerity will step in. That's when sincerity becomes a part of what you serve. Whether it's the first serving or the last serving, whether it's what you begin with or what you end with, it says it must be what? Oh, my goodness. Sincere. Genuine. My God. My God. Hold fast to what is good. My goodness. Wow. Verse 11 says this. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the lost people who are in need. Practice hospitality. My God. Never be lacking in zeal is what that 11th verse says. But keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal. What is zeal? Zeal is enthusiasm. It's excitement. Zeal is enthusiasm. It's excitement. Never be lacking in excitement to serve. never be lacking in excitement to receive your serving. It says, but keep your spiritual fervor. It says, be intense and passionate. You must have an intense and passionate feeling about it. Oh my goodness, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Wow, you have to be excited about it, enthusiastic about it. There's got to be something. Listen, when the zeal is present, you won't be lacking in zeal. If it's intense and passionate, if you have passion for something, you're going to be excited about it. There's going to be the enthusiasm. You can tell when somebody's tired of doing the job, when they're tired of being the server, when they're tired of even receiving the serving, their whole demeanor changes. Oh my goodness. They go to a place where you're scared they're not going to come back. So it says to never be lacking in zeal, always try to drum up, my God, the enthusiasm and the excitement to foster an atmosphere of what? True worship. That's the enthusiasm, the excitement. We want to be excited about serving God. We want to be excited about what God has for us to do in the kingdom, whether it's the first or the last serving. Listen, sometimes you might have to be the one to oh my goodness, bring the first serving. And if something happens in between, you might have to come back and bring the last serving as well. Oh my God. Oh my God, listen, when we're talking about the serving and the service, it all goes together to serve, to receive the serving. You can't get your serving unless somebody serves it to you. You back in that restaurant, you ordered your serving, but if the server doesn't bring the serving back, you just sitting there, you just waiting, you getting all antsy. You're getting impatient. You want to act up now. Oh my goodness. Somebody's going to see that thing that happens in between you receiving the first and the last. And what should happen in between is that you keep the excitement, that you keep the passion. Sometimes we got to wait from the first serving to get the last serving. Any of you ever go to a restaurant where you have a 3-course meal or you have a 4-course meal? And oh my goodness, in between, oh my gosh, I know I look at a lot of the cooking channel and I watch when they're doing the 3-course servings or the 4-course servings. And oh my gosh, sometimes the judges get a little impatient. It's taking them too long to come with their second one now, because once you get a taste and that thing is good to you, you want some more. But sometimes in between those servings, you got to let your palate rest. You got to wait, I say, on the Lord. You got to wait for the next serving to come. Sometimes you've got to make sure that in the midst of waiting, that you wait with some enthusiasm. You wait with that intense and passionate feeling that I know when it comes, it's going to be a good thing. Come on, God. Go ahead. Oh, my God. And that 12th verse just says, be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Whatever you've been served, listen, be joyful and hope for the next thing to come right. The next thing to come. Oh, God, that's going to break it. That's going to cause it to be better. Patient in affliction. Even though you're going through something, listen, you may have been served a little affliction right now, but somebody's going to come. They're going to serve you with some mercy. They coming and they're going to extend that gift they have. Oh my God. Oh my God. Somebody's going to help teach you how not to make the same mistake again. You see, our gifts, they come to edify the kingdom. Amen. It comes to edify the whole body. We talked about the body having many parts, but every part has a function and it edifies the other part. Oh my goodness, Lord God. Jesus. We think about our mouth all the time as this gift of speaking. But what if our mouth shuts up and there's no nourishment is able to get in? Oh, Jesus, have mercy. What if our throat closes up and that member is unable to perform its function? You see, the mouth has a multiplicity. It has many functions. It's oh my God. It's the venue in which your voice comes forth. It is that place in which the rest of the members receive nourishment. You know that mouth, oh my God, is very, very important to the rest of the body. You don't think about it like that. But if that mouth shuts up, then there has to be an artificial insemination, an artificial way to get the food and the nutrients to that body. So if the mouth shuts up and cannot serve the body, oh my God, fully with its functions, by taking in the food, by masticating the food, that means to chew it and bring it to a place so that it, when it goes into the esophagus, when it enters into our stomach, you see, when the nourishment and the nutrients begin to flow to this place and that place, oh my goodness, do you understand that if this thing shuts up, and we're not able to open it and to receive that food in it, and even if we are to put that food in there and nothing is functioning to cause our chewing to take place, that masticating of the food, that breaking down of the nourishment, that breaking down of whatever we're putting in, it has to be broken down so that as it goes in, it begins to move to places that we're not even thinking about. It begins to cause, oh my God, strengthen these hands, strengthen these legs so that they can operate, to keep that brain functioning so that it can operate the way it needs to do it. See, the first serving that you take and the last serving that you take, somewhere in between, some things might be happening. Oh my God. Jesus. Are y'all with me this morning? Whatever your gift, whether you are the mouthpiece, whether you are the hands that carry, whether you are the feet that have to tread into certain places, whether you are the brain or the mind, the operation, oh my God, has to begin here. Listen, whatever your gift, it says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. My God, that's it. But whatever your gift, it's what you serve, how you serve, and why you serve. Don't miss that. Whatever your gift, it's what you serve, how you serve, and why you serve. So if your gift is first, and it's the first serving, it's how it begins. You see, every opportunity comes to every gift. Every part of the body has an operation that it could be first, or it could be the last action that takes place. You see, when you're getting ready to plant, those hands may be the first thing to do something. Oh my God. Oh Lord. But that spirit man, that mindset has to be that serving continues, because somewhere in your mindset, when you plant that seed, somewhere in your mindset, you have to continue to think about how to nurture that seed, you see? So, oh my God, the brain is working, the mind is working, the heart is working, and everything is working together for the good and edification of the kingdom. Oh my God. If your gift is prophesying, this, you do it in accordance with your faith. Oh my gosh. But it says in that 12th verse again, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. All of these help to season that serving. Oh God. You know, when you're in that restaurant, you don't want them to just throw some plate on that food. You want it to be prepared with some seasoning. You want some things to happen. Oh my God. But it says be constant in prayer. You need some things to be mixed up and churned. Oh my God. There's some preparation that has to be made between the first serving and the last serving. Oh my God. Oh my God. Go to, oh my God. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. 13th verse says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. But the last two words, from what I'm reading, says practice hospitality. But it says contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. When you're serving, make sure you're serving up the best. Make sure you're bringing forth the good stuff. Don't try to hold it back for yourself. Don't try to leave it in the kitchen for your favorite people, because the person who is your least favorite might need it more than your bestie best. Come on, somebody. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Let's look at those scriptures. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Y'all just stay with me and bring them lower. Amen. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says, repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Don't repay anybody with evil. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes, it says, of everyone, in the sight of all. Somebody's watching, people. Children are watching. Your spouses are watching. Your family is watching. Covenant partners are watching. Watch this. Non-believers are watching. Oh, my goodness. It says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. If they didn't serve you right, you serve them right. Because between that first serving, you might, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You might get, oh, God, served the wrong thing. But the first serving and the between the last serving has to come from, my God, from him who is able to keep you from falling. It says, don't repay anyone for evil. Somebody's watching. Everybody, oh my goodness, needs to see you being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Between the first and the last serving, when that waiter brought the salad or the appetizer to the table, until the time the entree shows up, what are you experiencing? But what are you causing them to experience as well? Sometimes things aren't going our way in the midst of that meal, and we begin to act up. We begin to, oh my goodness, maybe it's not cooked to your satisfaction. Maybe it's not served in the way you saw the picture on the menu. And you start looking funny. And you think, this isn't what I asked for. Oh, they're going to take this back. I don't want this. I told them not to add onions. That's me. I told them not to do it. So between that serving, when that serving is presented, that first thing that's presented to you sometimes establishes the last thing that's presented to you. Somebody said, don't cut up with those people when you're in their restaurant, because their first serving that they brought, that they might have messed up on. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Some people have a fear of people spitting in their food or doing something to their food. Listen, between that first and that last thing, you have to trust what's in between. All of this is God. He has the ultimate say on the menu, what's going to be served, how it's going to be served up. Oh my gosh, because that's 18th verse, if it is possible. So don't repay anyone evil, even, and I'm even talking to the servers who want to do evil because they were mean to you, because they talk a little curt to you, because they did it this way and not that way. Even to you, you can't repay evil. For evil says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, not on them, this on you now. This is on you. You got to take it personal. As far as it depends on you, it says live at peace with everyone. Don't start ruckuses. Don't keep causing fights. Don't keep backstabbing. Stop being, oh God, the bone carrier. Stop it, I say. This God is wanting us to serve each other in spirit, serve him in spirit and truth, and serve each other with love. 9 said, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Oh my God, if possible, it says. So far as it depends on you, it says, live peaceably with all people. All it says. And the 18th verse, thank you, God. Pray with me, Lord. It says, keep the peace, y'all. You have to be the one to try. Yes, they may have been wrong. They may still be wrong. But you, if the word of God tells you to live peaceably with everyone so far as it depends on you. You fix it. Even if they started it, you fix it. But as far as it depends on you, it says live at peace with everyone. I know it's hard. It's a hard thing to serve up goodness. It's a hard thing to serve up a freshly baked cake. It's a hard thing to serve up even the dessert when you've been served nothing but a mess. It's hard. But the first serving and the last serving, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, it's got to be right and it's got to be righteous. Oh my God. Sometimes when things are brought to us at our table, we want to send it right back. Some of us don't even give it a chance. You putting your hand over, oh, this is cold. I need y'all to do this all over. Jesus, have mercy on us all. I'm using the restaurant and I'm using the serving of food as example. But I'm talking about how we treat each other. How our lives spill out. How do we use our gifts according to the faith that God has given us? If you have the gift of forgiveness, forgive. If you have the gift of prophecy, prophesy according to your faith. If you have the gift of serving, serve. Serving comes, so much comes under serving. So much is to be given. So much is to be needed. So much, oh my God, is to be done under the gift of serving. Seeing about the sick, seeing about those who are lost, seeing about those who need to come in, seeing about those who wandered back out, serving the Lord with gladness, I tell you. It says with enthusiasm, stay excited, you must have zeal. Thank you, Lord God. Oh God, listen, look at that 19th verse. It says, do not take revenge. Do not. Take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room, it says, for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. Let God arise, I tell you, and let his enemies be scattered. Let him, God, be relaxed. Oh, God. Let God be responsible for the last serving. Do you get it? He might allow you to step out there. That's the first serving, the beginning, not the ending. But he says to leave room. Leave room for me to do my job. You trying to do it all. You trying to make it right. Go ahead, but don't repay evil for evil. Because I'm going to do what is just. Whether you see it coming or not, I'm going to handle it, I tell you. I'm going to do what needs to be done. You can't see it right away, but baby, I'm telling you, I got you. I'm going to take care of the situation. I'm going to make sure. God says, don't take revenge. Jesus, but leave room for my wrath. It's mine to avenge. It's mine to take care of. I'm in charge of you. This is my restaurant. I got this. This is my world. This is my earth. Your life is my life. Listen, your soul belongs to me. You don't have to fight those battles. Listen, oh God, I tell you, thank you, Lord. On the contrary, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, by God. But the 21st verse says, do not be overcome by evil. Don't do it, but overcome evil. It says with good. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Don't let it take you out. Overcome evil with good. You keep serving that first thing I told you to serve in the first place. Goodness. Some mercy. The same thing I'm serving. That's what God is saying. You serve what I'm serving. You serve, I dare you to serve what I'm serving. You serve what I served you when you was messed up. You serve what I served you when you were cast out. You serve what I served you. I served you patience. God is saying, I served you with love, goodness, and kindness. I had mercy on you. You serve some mercy to somebody. Lord Jesus, he said, you don't have to do it. Don't you overcome God. Become by the evil things. Don't you be overcome. Don't you be overtaken by the things that don't seem right in this earth. This earth is temporary, people. Lord God, don't you let it overtake you. Don't you let it overtake you. Don't you let it overtake you, my God. Listen, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Go back to your gifts. How much of it was given to you? How much faith do you have to exercise the right to utilize your gifts in the perspective that God intended them to be? Oh God, what are your intentions? What are your motives? How are we going to get this done? Listen, he already said, don't you worry about it. I've got this. If you don't believe it, he says, it's mine to avenge. Just like it's his to create the earth, the world, to create you. It was his, oh my God, to cause the functions of this earth to go to and fro. It's his to avenge. It's his to bring love. And to leave love. Oh, God. Thank you, God. He says it's his to repay. So guess what? I really need us to hear. Do not be overcome by evil. Because sometimes evil will cause us to want to do evil. And sometimes evil will slip some things in on us. And cause us to serve out the wrong thing. Sometimes evil will cause us to look at things in a perspective that we think we're doing right and we are doing wrong. So we're praying now, God, have mercy upon us that we might not, oh God, might not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good by choosing right, not by being ruined and run over, God, but by choosing you, choosing what's right and righteous, no matter how it's presented, no matter what the serving looks like, whether the serving is well put together, whether the serving of God is a mess, whether the serving of God is seasoned well, is mixed right, is thoroughly cooked, whether the serving of God may be a rare portion, God. It may be a well done portion, God. It may be a portion that's small. It may be a portion that's large. But whatever the serving you have for us, God, help us to serve, God, the first serving and the last serving the way you would serve, God, and everything in between, God, as we're preparing, God, from one end to the other, God. Oh, my Lord. Jesus. Help us, God. We need a purification of our serving. Purify us in our serving, God, that we might not be overcome by evil, but we know, God, that we can. Oh, God, instill in us. Encourage us, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, cause us to be enthusiastic about the fact that we can overcome evil with good, because the enemy has left God in confusion. God, trying to figure out, God, why we didn't do it this way, when it would have made it easier, when it made it easier on us, hard on the other. But you said, don't do it, God. You said, oh, God, overcome the evil with good. Thank you, Lord. God, look how, God, bring up Hebrews 12 and 10. Hallelujah. And we going out with this one. I need you to get this morning. Hebrews 12 and 10 says this: they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Listen, while they were disciplining us, we can fix that, God, and interject this. They disciplined or served us for a little while as they, the servers, thought best. They thought what they were doing to you, they thought what they were doing to me was for the best, because their ways are not God's ways. Their thoughts are not God's thoughts. But God disciplines or serves us for our good in order that we may what? Share in his holiness. We're going to share. We're going to get a serving of his holiness. We're going to get what we need from him, God, who is able to keep us, to do exceedingly and abundantly. He will serve us beyond what we think we've got on the plate. Listen, when the plate comes and it's a minimal amount, when there's a minuscule amount, when it doesn't look like it's right, when it's all mashed up and messed up, there's not a pretty presentation to it. I'm telling you that God will purify the serving, no matter what position, no matter what move, no matter what intention, no matter what helper or helping or serving or server, no matter, doesn't matter, because no matter what they leave out, no matter what they do, if the whole thing is in God's hand, it becomes from being non-reputable to now it's reputable. If the entire body is not presented or presentable, God will make it presentable. He says, do not be overcome by what they've done, what they're doing. Oh my God, don't be, because it's all evil, but overcome the evil with good. That's how he overcomes the evil. God, thank you, Lord. Then neither the first, you see, nor the last serving, presented in an ugly way, will remain that way, because the first and the last serving belong to him. He has it all in his hands, that he might serve us, the first and the last. Oh God, that he, God, has already served us. God serves us. Hasn't he do for us? Doesn't he bring things to us? Doesn't he lay out the spread for us? He says, oh my God, he'll lay out the table. He will make the spread in the presence of thine enemies. Oh my goodness, didn't he say, yea, do we walk through the valleys and the shadows of death? We don't have to fear evil because he's given us a proportion, a serving of courage, and that faith. God, by the faith that he's given us, we can overcome these things. Thank you, Lord. Think about what he has served, how he has served, and why he has served it. That's what I leave you with. Think about it. From the first serving and the last serving, think about what God has served, how God has served it, and why God has served it. And you make sure that you understand. I just got to give us this before we go one more time. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God to do what God is going to do. He says, it's mine. Don't try to take away from him. Because that reminds us so strongly that we don't have to be overcome by evil. But overcome the evil with what? With good. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. The first and last serving is yours for the asking. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you now and we praise you. We glorify you and we bless you. Thank you for the people, oh God, who have heard this word, God, and who will hear this word, God. Thank you, God, for the people everywhere, God, who are seeking to serve and to be served, God, to receive, God, as they give, God, to, oh God, give, knowing it shall be given back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into their bosom because they're serving, they're using their gifts, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Touch, God, and influence, God, the very things that need to be influenced by you, God, as we sit back, oh God, and allow you to take the front, to be the head, God, and not the tail. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Listen, there is somebody, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I tell you, He is the beginning of serving. He served us with His life. He served us the first, and He will serve us the last. Yes. So we extend we extend salvation to you. We aren't able to save you, but He is. And we extend for you to become a part of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. He said in His word, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died, but Jesus is Lord, He died, God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I want you to confess with me right now. Come on and pray this prayer of confession and belief so that you can receive your salvation. Thank you, Lord. Come on and pray with me. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we magnify you. We thank you for our salvation now, God. Forgive us of our sin, every sin we have committed, oh God. Even those that tempted us, God, forgive us, Lord. And we ask you, God, to make room for us in your kingdom. Oh God, we confess now with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And we believe in our heart, God, that you raised Him, Jesus, from the dead. And because we have done this, God, you say that we are saved. And we receive our salvation now. Now, God, now while you may yet be found. Thank you, Lord. Amen, God. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, we want you to text the word salvation to the number on the screen, 912-856-1837. If you have prayed that prayer of salvation, go ahead and text salvation, and we will reach back out to you. We will ask your permission to send you some information. Please respond back to us. Amen. We won't call you unless you give us permission to call you. Amen. And if you find yourself in need of prayer, we want you to text the words, pray for me. Pray for me to 912-856-1837. And we will join you in prayer. Amen. If you desire to join with Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, your virtual community church, to connect with us, to become partners with us in the kingdom work, we ask you to text connect with me. And we'll reach out, 912-856-1837. We're preparing a questionnaire to send to you. We want you to send it back to us. Amen.